The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister Sophia Grace Hutchka is joining us today. She is with the Franciscan Sisters of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother, T.O.R., that is in Toronto, Ohio, down around the Zanesville area. Sister, first of all, welcome to God Calling.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell me about growing up. You were born in Wichita, I know.
Yes.
Tell me about your parents, your family, and growing up.
Yes, so grew up in Wichita in the Promised Land. It's like we like to call it down there. With a good Catholic family, you know, we went to Mass every Friday or every Sunday, and we prayed before meals. And
how important is that?
It was very important. Yeah, I don't think I realized it at the time. You know, it was just something that we did, but just the knowing that it was so formative in those years. Beginning to show me who God is and that He's real and that we can love Him.
Where do you follow other brothers and sisters?
So yeah, I have two younger brothers. So I'm the oldest, and they are both married. They both have several children, and just have really great relationships with both of them. I was very lucky growing up because they were boys, they got to harass each other and they left me alone pretty much, which doesn't always happen with brothers and no sisters.
No, that is for sure. I read some of the stuff that you have on Sister's website, kind of a bio, and you say that in the younger years you weren't necessarily called to this, that you were at Mass one day and God said, maybe you're not called to marriage.
Yeah.
I think you were kind of in shock. Explain that to me. That's interesting.
I mean, like I said, like I grew up Catholic, but I didn't really take my faith to be my own until I was in college. I went to the University of Kansas, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. It's not where I took my faith to be my own. And until that point, like I guess even in college, like I thought that I was, like vocation was just like a choice. Like it's something that you choose to do. Like you choose to be like a police officer. You choose to be a teacher. You choose to be a priest or religious. I didn't really recognize it as a calling. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was going to get married and have like 12 kids and, you know, this perfect Catholic family. So, mm-hmm.
What was that moment like when we're introduced to the idea of something different?
I was in shock. I sat there and I was like, okay, Lord, did I really just hear that? You know, did you really just say that to me? So it was very I guess eye-opening for me, like, okay, like I could be called to something different.
Was that kind of front and center, or did you push it back over the course of time?
Yeah, so the Lord gave me the grace during that time, during that Mass, to be able to just continue to sit with it. And at communion time, we sang the song Holiness, and it was the first time that I had really prayed the words to take my heart and form it, to take my mind, transform it, to take my will, conform it to yours, O Lord. And I just really, I prayed like a very honest prayer, probably the first of my life. And just like, okay, Lord, if you're calling me to religious life, like that's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to change my heart, my mind, and my will, because my desire is to be married. And I know you're not going to, you know, make me do something that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And really very quickly after that prayer, the Lord really just like flipped my heart like 180 degrees, and yeah, just being able to see the beauty of religious life and to really start to desire that in my life.
You say in college you really started to change quite a bit, but that's kind of interesting because many people are doing just the opposite at the college years. They're not home anymore, more freedom,
right.
Mass maybe becomes optional, and it sounds like you were going in the other direction.
I had some good friends that before I went to college that they suggested that I get involved in the Catholic campus center there on KU's campus, and just a really vibrant program. And I found a bunch of friends there that showed me that you could live the faith authentically and have fun at the same time. Like, they weren't mutually exclusive, you know, it was something that goes together. And just their witness of how they love the Lord just continued to draw me deeper.
In reading your bio, I kind of, in my mind, kind of divided it up into three steps. First of all, your call. And then you wrote quite a bit about where you're called to, where to serve. Mm-hmm. How did you discern that?
I was pretty overwhelmed. I didn't really know where to look. I didn't really know the difference between contemplative or active or the different spiritualities, Franciscan, Dominican, etc. So I prayed another honest prayer, and I was just like, okay, Lord, if you're calling me to religious life, you're just going to have to show me the community, because I don't even know where to start, basically. Mm-hmm. And then I started looking online, searched for charismatic religious communities, and there were four that came up on the website that I found, so that narrowed it down rather significantly. And yeah, from there, it was I already had information on several, and then it was, going to come and visit our community. You know, after I clicked on our website, I just felt this rush of peace that came over me and just really palpable. I was like, okay, there's something there. I need to go visit this community. So,
how many times did you come?
Let's see. I came for my initial retreat and then what we call a come and see, which is where we come for like a week. And I think I started doing my interviews at that time. And then I think I came back one other time before I entered.
Okay.
So it wasn't very many times, but it was enough.
He spoke loud and clear, it sounds like.
He did. He did, very much so. Yeah.
All right, sister, stay with us. We're going to be right back after a commercial break. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister Sophia Grace Hutchka is our guest. She is with the Franciscan Sisters of Penance of the Sorrowful Mother in Toronto, Ohio. This is Paul Orlowski, your host, each and every week at this time. We hope you'll be here each and every week at this time. Sister, you came to Ohio, and the charism obviously was very attractive to you of the sisters.
Initially, I felt like a draw to more like the, for lack of better words, the charismatic life, charismatic spirituality of being open to the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our life. But as I started to actually like live our life, I recognized a lot of Franciscan themes or charisms that I felt really, really called to, like specifically like the life of poverty and simplicity. Mm-hmm. That was something that, just really spoke to my heart. And, you know, and I think like concretized, like I loved watching Little House on the Prairie growing up. And for me, it was the simplicity of the life, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, watching Pa play the fiddle at night after the sun has gone down, you know, just like that simplicity of family life, that simplicity of just life in general. And so like I was seeing that lived out as I was starting to live it out. I was seeing it lived out within the sisters and just feeling a deeper call into that, as well as prayer and contemplation. That's another big charism.
When you have younger potential candidates come in, how do you handle it? Because you can't overpower somebody. You just have to kind of let them see what the life is. How do you go about that?
Yeah, so, I mean, we introduce, initially when we enter, we're introduced into our life. We have, like, some transition time as far as, like, you know, rising at a little bit later time for the first month or so and whatnot. But, it really is just integrating into the life and trying out different ministries that we do. So plugging in some of the women when they first enter will help out with our downtown ministry with the materially poor, or visiting the nursing homes, and then entering into our life of prayer as well. Entering into, you know, like greater times of silence throughout the day and throughout our work. So it is a gradual transition, because we definitely recognize that it's a big transition from, quote unquote, the world into mm-hmm. religious life.
What's your typical day like?
So we normally rise at 5, and then we have a holy hour from 5:30 until 6:30. And then we have mass and breakfast, and then we have what we call like a work ministry period. So we would either do work around the house, like cooking or cleaning, that kind of thing. Maybe if we have other responsibilities, more office work, or doing ministry, so going out and ministering with the poor or with the college students, working on talks for different parishes, different things like that. And then we have prayer again around noontime, and then we have another like work ministry period after lunch, and then we come back again for another holy hour in the evening. And all of that, like morning, we pray morning prayer together and then evening prayer together as well within that holy hour. And then after dinner, we have some kind of either recreation or extended work time, or some nights we have free nights as well.
Mm-hmm. Earlier, I talked about, I kind of broke yours down into three steps. Your call, discerning that call, then where to serve. And then the last thing I wrote was, it sounded like one click did it. You found your heaven right there on earth with a click.
Yeah.
The internet's a wonderful thing.
I like to tell everybody that I found my spouse through online dating.
Well, you know, as I read your story, it is, to be honest with you, it is a bit of a love story. The ideal groom, I think you referred to, opposed to being married here on earth, you're married. Is that a fair way to look at it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think
he's my spouse.
If I'm not mistaken, you have host retreats and things like that. Tell me about that work.
So we host retreats here at our mother house. We have four vocation discernment retreats throughout the year. We also have various like one-day Lenten and Advent retreats, or like either a day or a half a day, where we're able to invite our friends into our home and be able to share different talks and testimonies with them here at the convent. So it's one of my favorite ministries, is to be able to invite others into our way of life.
Now, if I was interested in a day to come and have a one-day retreat, is that something that somebody in the public could do?
We don't necessarily have like a track for that, but the chapel is always open for sure. So that, yes, you could come and spend some time in the chapel and in prayer in that way. Yes.
Tell me about the chapel. I've got a picture of it here. It's gorgeous. The Father of Mercy Chapel.
Yes, Father of Mercy Chapel. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's such an incredible gift in our life that we get to be there before relief of our beloved crucified. And then, yeah, just his blood and water flowing forth from his side with Our Lady at the foot of the cross. It really shows our charisms. And, you know, being with Mary, she has one hand extended up towards Jesus and another hand that is extended out towards us. And just that sense that we are all called to be vessels of mercy, just like Our Lady, that we're called to receive his mercy and then be vessels to be able to give his mercy to the world. And as well, like the stream of blood and water that comes from his side gets larger as it flows down, and that is also picked up in the floor. The center aisle looks like a river flowing, and that goes out the door as well. So like just that symbol of us being there, receiving his mercy and allowing that to go out to the world through our prayer and through our way of life. Because we were founded for a way of life, not necessarily for a specific work.
Mary at the foot of the cross, you love that, you say, because through suffering, we truly learn how to love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's something that I continue to go deeper into as I continue to live my life. It's definitely a beautiful mystery.
That image, I take it, is very important to you, that particular image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I particularly love the blood and water flowing from his heart, and like just putting myself right there in the midst of that flow, just like his protection and his love and his mercy.
All right. Sister, can you stay right there? We'll be right back. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Welcome back. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host here on God Calling. We're here every week at this time. Sister Sophia Grace Huska is joining us, originally from Wichita, Kansas, and now living in Toronto, Ohio, down by Steubenville. Sister, we started to talk a little bit about the chapel and the campus there, the Father of Mercy Chapel, but it's designed to resemble the Our Lady of the Angels Chapel near Assisi, Italy.
Yeah.
What was the rationale? Why that?
You know, I wish I could tell you the full rationale of that. I think, I don't really honestly know for the whole story, but I think just to help us like be rooted more in our Franciscan Franciscan roots.
Tell me about this Franciscan spirituality.
Franciscan spirituality focuses a lot on poverty and contemplation and Christ-centered, really, as well as being led by the Holy Spirit in our life. Francis, he tried to emulate Christ, like he tried to be like Christ and following Christ's footsteps. And so that's how we are trying to live our life, is following in Francis's footsteps, who tried to follow in Christ's footsteps. And he would often pray like to the Father, and putting himself in the place of Christ. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we're always striving to do in our lives, is to become more and more one with Christ.
Is there a point in your prayer life, or where? I'm sure there is, because you're talking to God when it came to discerning. When, for you, did it shift from saying prayers to praying to having a conversation?
I would say that it started to shift from saying prayers into praying would be more like probably in the midst of my discernment, honestly. Mm-hmm. As I came to know who the Holy Spirit is and really started to recognize what God's voice sounds like. And then as I entered the convent, I would say it became more of a conversation. I mean, I have a profound moment of really entering into that deeper personal prayer with the Lord on a retreat. And it was a retreat that was very childlike retreat. There was a lot. I did a lot of playing and just playing with the Lord and just a little kid. But it was also very bridal. The mm-hmm. Lord was showing me that I am His bride. I am His beloved. And there was just a deep sense of just being His. And yeah, just this. There was a plaque that I saw there that said, "The sparkle in your eyes shines through the barriers of time." And I just knew that was what the Lord was calling me to. He was calling me to gaze upon Himself, who is outside of time, and then, God willing, to allow Him to be reflected in my eyes as I'm inside of time. So yeah, I just that was a very profound retreat for me, and it's hard to put into words how that became more of a conversation. And a being, but there's definitely a deepening, and it continues to deepen.
I think in my life it's been more since I retired. You get so drawn into the daily life and the daily grind. Went to Mass quite a bit during the week. The place where I worked was right across the street from the cathedral, and then morning Mass. But you're almost kind of in a rush thinking about what you have to do next. So I say prayers, and now with being able to spend more time, I think maybe I'm getting there finally after all of these years on the planet. But it's not for a lack of trying, but it's just sometimes just very easy not to just talk to God. Because I didn't know how to do it.
The Lord's timing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
As far as now your family life, any objections? Because sometimes there's an objection to a family member. Some parents want grandkids and things like that. And was your family supportive?
So I would say my parents definitely struggled. I didn't really tell my mom until I was actively going on discernment retreats. And I remember telling her, she was a teacher, and I told her after school. And then she called me later on that night. She's like, "I cleaned for an hour and a half because they had so much nervous energy." after I told her. My dad thought that they just didn't have a general understanding of what religious life is. And so and understand really there's definitely a quote unquote death that is involved, because they have a lot of dreams and hopes, and rightly so, for their children. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that involves marriage and children, and when that doesn't happen in that way, then yes, there can be a definite struggle. So I think my parents definitely struggled in that, but the more that I live the life, and the more that they come out to visit, and that I am able to just be myself, they really see that this is what makes me, what fulfills me. They can see a light shine in me that doesn't shine when I talk about other things, like meteorology, or which is what I did before I entered religious life, or KU basketball or, you know, whatever it is. There's just a different light.
They see that sparkle that you talked about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And similar stories for some of the other sisters that it took a little bit for mom and dad to get on board?
Yeah, I don't think it's an uncommon thing. But it's just so beautiful to see how the Lord works in the lives of the families and to see how the Lord is working powerfully. And I know one of the fears that I had, for example, is like my nieces and nephews, like, would they really know me?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And absolutely they know me. Like, you know, I sent something to my nephew and he's like, I'm going to put this in my bulletin board. I always have a spot for Aunt Sophia, you know, where her cards and stuff. So like, and they call me, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just really beautiful to see the hundredfold fruits lived out in the families.
Yeah. Well, you're clearly an example of, example is so important, you know, as you watch your parents, your grandparents and such, and their habits and their religious dedication. And so you're an example to them as well with your chosen path in life, which is a beautiful thing. And you've expressed it very beautifully as well. Sister, thank you. We do appreciate you joining us on God Calling.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Sister Sophia Grace Hutchcutt joining us, the Franciscan Sisters of Penance of this Sorrowful Mother from Toronto, Ohio. Sister, God bless. Thank you. And thank you for joining us, everybody listening today. We hope you'll join us again. This is God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. If you miss any part of today's program or you just want to listen again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.